You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. We were looking forward to another victory Monday, but that's not what we had. What we got was maybe a little dose of reality to where we were so caught up in quarterback controversy that we didn't realize that we don't have a defense that can even slow anybody down. And our defense hasn't even really... Yesterday, they didn't look like they were even attempting to slow somebody down. You're talking about, this is not Johnny Unitas we were playing yesterday. It's not Johnny Unitas. It's not Troy Aikman. It's not Tony Romo, okay? It's Mitch Trubisky, who in 15 games had 9 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And in one game, we gave up 6 touchdowns. That's the equivalent to about 11 games last year. We gave him 11 games worth of touchdowns in one game. And everybody's gassing this guy up, Trubisky. And I've watched him play a few times, and I like his you know, poise as a quarterback. He still has a lot to learn. He didn't impress me yesterday. Those guys were wide-ass open. He could have threw those balls anywhere. That was embarrassing. And as a Buccaneer fan, you didn't want to do that in this situation. And they had a couple, you know, people in the press talk to Dirk Cutter about whether he should make change a defensive coordinator. That's not the way to do it. That doesn't usually solve anything. And Dirk Cutter basically said we should all be fired. And I don't know if that's not going to be the case. I really don't. Because... you know, when you look at Mike Smith and what he's trying to accomplish over there on the defensive side, it's been quite a while now that that's been your defense, and you should have your players there now. You should have your draft picks. You should have your free agents. They should know your scheme. And we suck on defense. I mean, there's not a mean person out there. I don't even see Quan Alexander playing all that well this year. Levante David, I haven't seen do a whole lot. We finally got a chance to see fat, out of shape Vita V, who just looked like a fat, out of shape rookie who hasn't done anything yet this year. We got a Jason Pierre-Paul, I thought, played well. I mean, he's the only fire we have on that defense. Gerald McCoy, you guys can go ahead and evaluate him yourself. I'm tired of evaluating him. And if we can get anything for this guy, if you can get a case of Gatorade, go get a case of Gatorade and trade this some bitch, because I'm telling you, none of it's good. And I think we're better when he's off the field, because he does nothing. Instead of Gerald McCoy got a great takeoff. Gerald McCoy, make a play. He has 1.5 sacks in 4 games, and they're both off of stunts. Oh, they're double teaming him. No, they're not. They are not double teaming Gerald McCoy. Trust me, they're not game planning for him. Game planning is what you should have done against Khalil Mack. All right? Khalil Mack, who is one of 2 unblockable defensive players in the league with Aaron Donald, is a problem. He causes a ruckus regardless who he's playing. Like I said, JPP, I thought, played well yesterday. All the other ones are just collecting checks. Curry, I'm not seeing none from Curry. Vita V, it's good to see you out there, but you ain't the answer. Right now, Warren Sapp is 100% correct about Vita V being a bust. He's 100% correct, because we're 4 games in and he's done squadooch. Not one thing. Ronald Jones, was the running back, was finally active. He ran hard in a couple situations, dropped the key, you know, pass. That's the knock on him. They say the dude can't catch. That's a problem. To be an undersized type running back and you can't catch is a problem. Now, the Buccaneers are going into a bye week. Then they got to go to Atlanta. Then they play Cleveland. Bye weeks suck after you get throttled, because the coaches don't really give a rat's ass about your free time. and they're going to do whatever they have to do to save their jobs. And that's what they should be doing. So the Buccaneers are going to probably spend a lot of time on One Buck Place trying to get better in a couple of different situations. But the problem is, I don't know if it's the scheme or the personnel, because now we suck at both, okay? Especially defensively that I'm talking about right now. Our scheme sucks, and our players suck. We can't cover. We can't rush. There's no mean out there. And I don't know where you go from here. Firing Mike Smith right now is not the answer, okay? That ain't the answer. But to look at a bunch of guys out there yesterday that kept on meeting on the sideline and having these rah-rah, sis-boom-bah meetings, screw all that crap, man. Just go out and play hard. You know, it's a tough situation that Jameis was put in yesterday. You know, when you're down 40 points and you come in a game and you're trying to be that rah-rah guy, that's not really the time everybody wants to hear that shit. It really isn't. And when you talk about this quarterback controversy, it pretty much evolved into what it was supposed to be in the first place, okay? It morphed into what it has been and what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Jameis Winston's team. He is the future. And Ryan Fitzpatrick as the perfect guy coming off the bench. If you messed up with the aesthetics of it and put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there for another week when Jameis was healthy, you were messing up with the aesthetics of the future of the team. Because the future of the team is still Jameis Winston. It still is. We all know it is. We all got enamored with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I was on air yesterday, and everybody was like, man, the Buck fans haven't been so into the Bucks in so long. There were so many Bucks fans in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I go, you know what? I'm not sure they were Buck fans as much as they were Ryan Fitzpatrick fans, okay? So Jameis Winston goes back out there. Jameis Winston is going to be the guy now, and it's his job to lose. And the way we looked yesterday, offensively and defensively, we still haven't run the ball worth a darn. We couldn't really protect the passer yesterday. We couldn't rush the passer. And we've given up 30 points in the first half in two straight games. That team yesterday that was on that field doesn't win five games. They don't go 5-11. They go 4-12. That team is not beating a lot of teams. They're just not. Defensively, we can't beat anybody right now. And there's a statistic that I heard this morning. 13 times in the last 8 years, the Buccaneers are giving up 40 points, and that's the most in the NFL. Go back and look at the Tony Dungy / Monty Kiffin era, and off the top of my head, I can think of one time that they gave up 40 points, and that was against the Raiders in Oakland. They gave up, it was like 49-0 or something crazy like that. Other than that, you weren't scoring 40 points on a Buccaneer defense. You just weren't gonna. Now, everybody, that offense we just played is not a good offense. It's not an efficient offense. And they didn't even try to run the ball at the end. And it was almost disrespectful. They're up by 30-some points, and they said, you guys can't stop us throwing the ball. We're just going to continue to stop. We're just continue to throw the ball. That was it. So we couldn't do a damn thing about it. Nothing. And that defense won't win five games this year. It won't. No way. That defense is porous. And I don't know where it goes. Once again, Mike Smith, his scheme, there's no greatness out there. There's no greatness to back for everybody to fall back on. None. And we give up 400-yard passing and 350 to everybody. We just give the booty up to absolutely everybody. And we allow everybody to have career games against us. We all love to hang out and get out of the house a little bit, maybe hang out with a significant other and see some local events. And it's good to see things live. And if you are into watching, you know, live sporting events and going to concerts, I got to get you hip to Vivid Seats. It's a top source for tickets for all live events that you want to go to. And it doesn't matter if it's a concert like Taylor Swift or some of the different concerts that have come through here. It could be a Buccaneer game. It could be a USF game. Vivid Seats just has the best selection and some wonderful prices. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code INFLUENCE for 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. And once again, they do it the right way. So do yourself a favor. Download the app, enter the promo code INFLUENCE for 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let Vivid Seats help get your favorite live event. It's all about live events. You know that. Looking at all those touchdowns, you know, there was six different ways that we gave up touchdowns. And it wasn't one thing. It wasn't two things. It was a lot of different things. And this Bucs defense was jumping off sides two or three times, just bonehead mistakes, just undisciplined. You're seeing two DBs on one receiver and one guy running scot-free. I mean, it's not conducive to winning. And this Buccaneer team they haven't learned how to win. They haven't learned how to finish. And they don't know how to play defense right now at all. And when you're seeing running backs running wheel routes and they're wide open 40 yards down the field, you know how long it takes to run a wheel route? It takes a good 5 seconds. If you don't have anybody in your defense that can get to the quarterback in 5 seconds, then you're going to lose. And I think that's where the Bucs are right now. Without Jason Pierre-Paul, who once in a while, he'll little flash here and little flash there. There ain't nothing else. The effort is low. And losing is one thing. Playing poor is one thing. But when the effort's low, yeesh. And when I see a guy on the other end in a Khalil Mack who is omnipresent, and that means he's making plays all the time. He's making physical plays. He's making finesse plays. He's running people into the quarterback. He's batting balls. He's hitting arms. He's all over the place. He has more forced fumbles than the Bucs have in the last 10 years, I think, already this year. Man, it'd be nice to have a difference maker. The Bucs don't run a 3-4 defense. And if you guys ever want to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Here, my boy Brad P, he wants to know the difference between blocking a 4-3 and a 3-4. And that's what the Bucs have been doing the last couple games, and struggled mightily yesterday, and you know, had a good second half against the Steelers, but struggled in the first half against that 3-4. The 3-4 defense, the thing is, they bring pressure with linebackers and movement. And a lot of times you have players lined up head up on you instead of shaded to one side or the other. So as a guard, usually in a 4-3 defense, you'll have somebody lined up on your outside shoulder. In a 3-4 defense, the nose guard will be lined up head up on the center, and you'll have a linebacker off you 5 yards. So there's a lot of different reads, a lot of different blitz schemes, and it makes angles a lot tougher. It's just, there's a lot more combination blocks and one-on-one blocks, and the Bucs are not overly physical as a football team, and they showed that. But it's been 2 weeks in a row where, you know, definitely in the first half that 3-4 gave them fits, and they're going to see it again, for sure. Now, you don't run into Khalil Mack too often, and I was watching that Raiders game last night, which they figured out a way to pull out in the end, but, you know, John Gruden should be ashamed of himself getting rid of the best defensive player in the world. And that's what Khalil Mack is right now. He's the best defensive player in the world. And we had some players yesterday that still fought. I still saw DeSean Jackson fighting. Mike Evans had a couple drops earlier here, looked a little bit off. But we got to get back into this. We got to get Godwin back into the mix. Humphreys hasn't really done enough as a receiver yet this year for me. And we got to figure out ways to run the damn football. We really do. And O.J. Howard, he should never be quiet. He's too big of a target. He's too much of a threat to take it to the house for us not to for him not to really have much going on yesterday. So, you know, this Buccaneer team is still in the making, and I don't think they know what they are. But we did find out yesterday that defensively we are grossly flawed defensively. Offensively, that happens. defenses do a great job at times. You're gonna get some days where just things don't really go smoothly. But defensively, when you're giving the booty up like that on a consistent basis, that's gonna be a problem going forward, no doubt. And maybe the bye week is coming at a perfect time, and maybe it's coming at the worst time. I don't know, but they got to figure some things out real quick, because there's some tight puckered up sphincters at One Buccaneer Place, because they're two losses away from, you know, the Glazers calling up and saying, you know, we're going a different direction, because this is it's unacceptable. What we saw yesterday going in, and I put money on the Bucks, all right? I put money on the Bucks to win that game yesterday. Maybe that's why I'm a little bit more angry than I normally am. But after a quarter of the game, I was like, this is just not a good football team, and why would anybody bet on the Bucks? And that's my fault. But I thought the Bucks were good enough and talented enough to go to Chicago and keep that game tight and maybe figure out a way to win at the end. Chicago doesn't have a lot of weapons, allegedly, because them cats was running around the field. I don't even know how these Cohen and all these cats, I don't know their names, but people were real happy in fantasy because some guys that didn't normally get all those points got them. And by the way, I still suck at fantasy. I really suck at fantasy football. And I have a shirt that says I suck at fantasy football right now. But once again, if anybody wants to email me, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. Wednesdays, my cannabis podcast comes up. And then we have Flavor in Your Ear that comes out on Friday. And Flavor of Tampa Bay. So there's a lot of different ways you can listen to me talk about a lot of different things. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. It's fun doing these podcasts. You can also hear me on 102.5 The Bone in the mornings, 5 to 6. Saturday with Ray Lampe on Flavor of Tampa Bay. And on Sunday, the Ian Beckles Show from 11 to 1, kind of like your pregame show. So I appreciate you guys listening in. I wish, once again, we were talking about the Buccaneers looking a little bit better than they did yesterday. But it was a little bit painful. It can't get any worse this week because we have a bye week. And I'll be back next week on Monday still talking about football and all the other things going on in the league. So everybody enjoy their week. And the Bucs won't lose this week, I promise. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Folks, with the limited number of time in pads, just think about this for a second. And this is something that you're not exposed to because you're watching games on weekends. But keep in mind, with a limited number of practices, the further you get into the season, the more practices you have under your belt. Football is a practice game. Okay, football is about practice. Baseball, basketball, hockey, it's about the games. Football, it's about practice. Practice dictates the game. And so the more practices, the more work, the more repetition, the better you get. The better coach teams get better as the year goes along. That's why teams, you know, like a New England, just gets better and better as the year goes along, and they're not as good in the early part of the year. Doesn't mean that if you play well early, you're not a well-coached team. It's just, can you get better? Can you adjust to people making adjustments to you? Can you have that answer? Can you sustain? Can you continue to excel? Because remember, you never stay the same, right? You either get better or you get worse. Make a note of that as you're watching these games and these teams as to how much are they getting better. That's what you want to see. And that applies to college as well. But it's more and more the case in today's modern football world where you have less and less time hitting in the offseason and preparation for the season. The early part of the season is more conducive to mistakes, and as you get into the season, there's just more practice.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.